This is Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. A recent study from the Center for Economic Development at UW-Milwaukee looked at racial inequality in the nation's 50 largest metropolitan areas. More specifically, researchers looked at income, poverty rates, educational attainment, and segregation in Black communities. What they found in Milwaukee is that Black people are generally worse off today than they were 40 or 50 years ago. According to the study, Milwaukee ranks at or near the bottom when compared to other large cities. Mark Levine is the founding director of the Center for Economic Development and the author of the study. He spoke with WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell about the report and what can be done to improve the lives of Black people in Milwaukee.
I've done numerous studies at the center over the last 20, 25 years that have documented the inequalities in areas of employment and income school issues, education, and the like. So what this study sought to do was to kind of put a cap on all of that and to say, okay, let's take the most comprehensive look we can at the state of racial inequality in Milwaukee and how it compares to metropolitan areas across the country, the 50 largest metropolitan areas in the country. And this seemed like a really important time to do that. Obviously, I had begun working on the study before the latest surge in mobilization following the killing of George Floyd and the reemergence of Black Lives Matter, although Black Lives Matter never went away. But it's obviously assumed a much, much greater degree of importance in recent months. And so the timing obviously could not have been better in terms of finishing up the research on this and having it available at this very fraught time, really, in American history and certainly in Milwaukee's history. So certainly taking that comprehensive across-the-board look at the scope of racial inequality was a central concern. And so I wanted to do it in two ways. One is to see how Milwaukee ranked compared to all of these other metropolitan areas on these key indicators to see, you know, are we really the most segregated? Do we really have the highest rate of incarceration for African Americans and so forth? So to sort of test the truth value of a lot of things that have been out there in the community. And then secondly, to get a sense for the community of the trend line, the historical trend. How are we doing today compared to 10 years ago during the Great Recession? How are we doing compared to 30, 40, 50 years ago? So some of our data goes back to 1970 and we trace, you know, these changes. You know, the stunning finding really of this study is that no matter how we slice the data, if we look at it comparatively or if we look at it historically, it's quite shocking how across the board Milwaukee ranks so poorly in terms of the well-being of African Americans. On indicator after indicator, we rank either last or next to last in terms of the well-being of African Americans. You know, it would be the lowest household income, the lowest earnings for African American males, the worst poverty rate, the third lowest employment rate, the third worst or the third highest incarceration rate. I mean, you go down list after list, and on virtually every indicator, Milwaukee ranks in the bottom 10 of the metro areas, and on quite a few of them, we rank either dead last or next to last. So I think it was important to see how much this is not just a sort of an isolated, we're bad here, we're bad there, we've got, you know, things to improve. This is, we have a crisis. We have a crisis across the board. And then the second part of the study is to show that that crisis has not in any way been alleviated over the last 40 or 50 years. On every indicator, practically, we're worse off than we were in 1970 and 1980. Household income is down, employment rates are down. For African Americans, home ownership is down. The gaps between Blacks and whites, which have narrowed in other places in the U.S. and have narrowed nationally, for example, the income gap between Blacks and whites, it's still terrible nationally, but it's actually narrowed a little bit since the 1970s. In Milwaukee, it's gotten wider. And so even in areas where the national trends, and nobody's saying we're doing great nationally in terms of racial justice, but even in areas where nationally there seems to have been some progress, that hasn't occurred in Milwaukee. And so I think it's important to document all that as a stepping stone to a community-wide conversation about why this is the case and what we need to do about it. And certainly my study doesn't answer those questions. I have some ideas about those issues. I'm not bashful about advancing them, but it's important to have all that data out in front of us so we can say, okay, here's where the issues are and where do we need to go from here.
So in your introduction, you mentioned poverty is one of the key indicators that you look at in this study. So let's talk about poverty among Black people in Milwaukee.
There is a line from the study that reads, Milwaukee has become the most impoverished African-American community in big city America. But just give a little bit more context about what that means. And how do we get to the point of poverty that Milwaukee is at? Because it's, the 33% for Black people?
Yeah, here? Right. Exactly. Yeah, 33.4%, which is the highest rate. No, it's not the highest it's ever been, actually. The worst was in 1990 when Milwaukee had incredibly a Black poverty rate of 41%. And I'll talk about why it was so bad then in just a second. But yeah, I mean, one of the things that I think is very useful in this study is that I looked at different measures of poverty so that we can kind of angle in on it in different ways and get a full sense of the extent of poverty and what poverty means in Milwaukee. So there's sort of the starting statistic. What is the Black poverty rate? 33%. It's the highest in the country. But we also looked at extreme poverty. That is, you know, what's the percentage of the Black population that has an income that's less than 50% of the poverty rate. And Milwaukee is, of course, among the worst in the country at that as well. 14% of the Black population in Milwaukee has income that's 50% or less than the poverty line. And we also looked at concentrated poverty, and this relates very much to segregation. If you have a very segregated city and you have African Americans concentrated in particular neighborhoods, and many of those African Americans are poor because we have such a high Black poverty rate, then in fact you're going to have what's called concentrated poverty, geographically focused poverty in these census tracts or slightly larger metropolitan areas, slightly larger neighborhood areas. And Milwaukee, at about 26% of the Black population in the entire metropolitan area, whether or not those African Americans are poor, live in concentrated poverty neighborhoods, which is a stunning statistic if you think about it. It means that it's not only poor people who are living in these concentrated poverty neighborhoods, but because of segregation, African Americans who you would think have incomes that would permit them to live in better neighborhoods are in fact living in high poverty neighborhoods. In fact, I have statistics for another study that I'm going to be doing that shows a shockingly high percentage of Black households in Milwaukee with income over $100,000 a year that are living in concentrated poverty neighborhoods. So that's just another slice at how this sort of what sociologists call cumulative inequalities kind of pile up on one another. And so you end up with even people who aren't poor living in poor neighborhoods, and their kids grow up in those neighborhoods. And even if the kids are not growing up in poor households, their prospects for the future are compromised because they're growing up in a poor neighborhood. And so, you know, you see a massive racial disparity here. You know, poor whites, for example, in Milwaukee tend not to live in concentrated poverty neighborhoods. White poverty is different than Black poverty in Milwaukee. White poverty is more dispersed. If you're poor and white, you're still likely to live in a sort of an okay neighborhood and have access to okay schools, and in the future have a better chance for social mobility to get ahead. And we have a big section in the study which shows the difference in white and Black mobility rates, the ability to climb the economic ladder. So poverty is, you know, you can start with it simply and say, what's the poverty rate? But it's really important to dig down, to drill down into these various aspects of it. And I think what the study, you know, shows is the pervasiveness of poverty and the extensiveness of the phenomenon so that it sort of penetrates into all these aspects of African-American life in the city. And it's something that's been this way for at least 30 years. I mean, 1990 was really the worst because of the great economic collapse of the 1980s and the loss of manufacturing jobs, which cost lots of African Americans family supporting jobs and threw a lot of the community into poverty. But it's something we've had made very little progress on in this city. And, you know, I would argue ultimately that's where we really need to make some major efforts here.
I'm interested to know, like, what ideas you have that could change where poverty is right now.
I mean, there's no, obviously, I don't have any silver bullet. Nobody does. If we did, well, hopefully, we would think we would have solved this. But there are a lot of things that we, I think, you know, need to do that we haven't done in the past. Major investments, for example, in early childhood education have been shown to yield significant benefits. You know, we have some of that in Milwaukee, and we have certainly a growing consciousness of it. The Greater Milwaukee Foundation has put together an investment fund, which will enhance investments in that area. But I think, you know, a major program of expanding early childhood education would go a long way in the future, certainly, in building prospects for equity and mobility within the African American community. Breaking down barriers in terms of employment, that we have a spatial mismatch between where the jobs are in this region and where African Americans generally live. How do we mesh the two? You know, encourage, obviously, investment within central city areas, but also improve transportation links and the like to suburban areas so that you can get workers to those jobs. That would help. Building affordable housing, again, in growing suburban areas, cracking down on housing discrimination, having fair housing policies that are truly enforced, I think, you know, would clearly make a difference. So I think, you know, there are things we can do, but, you know, the most important thing is to take a deep breath, look at the data, say that we have this problem, and say, okay, as a community, how are we going to mobilize all of our resources, all of our intellectual capital to come up with policies that can truly make a difference in dealing with racial inequality?
I'm wondering where we go from here.
Well, I think, you know, clearly public officials need to take, you know, consciousness of this, corporate leaders. I mean, if you break down the study into various sections, you could almost say, instead of sort of being overwhelmed by saying, okay, you know, where do we start on this, you know, incredible level of inequality and the incredibly poor performance of Milwaukee, you know, look, break it down into specific sections and say, okay, let's talk about income. I mean, a big part of the study, as you've pointed out, is about income disparities, about poverty, about earnings disparities, how Black men in particular, but also Black women, earn substantially less than their white counterparts. And in Milwaukee, even when I control for the differences in cost of living, because Milwaukee is a relatively low cost of living city, San Francisco and Boston, for example, higher cost of living. So I want to control for that and say, you know, how far does a dollar go in Milwaukee? But when I control for that, Milwaukee still lags way behind those communities in terms of African-American earnings and African-American income. So how can we lift those incomes? Well, there are lots of things, obviously, that are part of that. But here's one simple one. Wisconsin has one of the lowest minimum wages in the country. In fact, it has the lowest because it's the national minimum. You can't go lower than ours without violating federal law. Lots of other states in the last 15 years have raised theirs. We haven't. So we have, you know, a very low minimum wage, which has less purchasing power than it did in the 1960s. African Americans tend to be concentrated in lower wage occupations in Milwaukee, which means that if we raised the minimum wage, if we created a living wage, and I don't even know if $15 an hour is a living wage, but let's just use that as a, you know, as a benchmark, which would mean basically doubling our minimum wage, that would have a very quite a salutary effect on incomes in the African-American community. You know, I'll take another area, African-Americans in positions of economic decision-making. When we control for the percentage of African-Americans in the labor force, we have the lowest percentage of Blacks holding managerial and executive positions in Milwaukee area companies, or in companies, in corporations, compared to metropolitan areas across the country. Well, you know, it's not something you can snap your fingers and just do, but clearly one would suspect that corporate Milwaukee could make a much more concerted effort than it has in the past to rectify that inequity. There are some signs. Metropolitan Milwaukee Association of Commerce now has an initiative called Region of Choice, in which they're proposing targets of hiring for persons of color by Milwaukee companies. But one should laud them for that effort and hope that they succeed. But that's the kind of area, kind of initiative where if you make progress in that one area, and you make progress in the minimum wage area, and you make progress in the schools area, and you make progress in the job creation area, then all of a sudden you have a lot of things going on that could begin to, I think the expression I used in the study was, rewrite the racial rules of the region. I mean, it's not like they're racial rules like apartheid. It's not like the old kind of de jure segregation, as it was called. But we do have a set of racial rules or institutional arrangements or public policies that perpetuate these patterns of inequality. And so I think if we break it down into these various areas and begin to make progress in them, that we could begin to rewrite the racial rules. Because the next person who does a study like this, let's say a decade from now, you sure would like to see that Milwaukee isn't basically last or next to last on every indicator. But it's going to take, you know, some kind of mobilization to make that happen.
Mark Levine is a professor emeritus of history at UW-Milwaukee and the founding director of the Center for Economic Development. He spoke with WUWM's race and ethnicity reporter Taryn Powell.